Hi there, we hope you enjoyed part one of our special episode where we join Rune in the Moon for her witch's tea time. We will now begin part two where we left off on the previous episode here on That One Show with the Newmans. Thank you, enjoy.
Well. But yeah, I'm always looking for like new fun haunted places to kind of go to. There are some like weird areas that like I'll drive by and it's just got a really weird energy, creepy to it. So we'll have to make a list of like places that we'd like to take an adventure to and do some research, I think.
I would love to get into the Bellwood Mansion here in Dover or Indiana.
Yeah, that was the place I was trying to find because I couldn't remember what the name of it was that you and I talked about before, the Bellwood Mansion.
Yes, but it's all like gated off.
I know ish the owners or at least the family. I don't know if it's enough for me to say, hey, can I go in your house?
I have heard, you know. Like, all the stories I've heard, though, are very, like, dangerous stories.
Dangerous because of the state of the property or dangerous because of the activity that's happening to people?
Dangerous because of the activity that was supposedly summoned to the house itself.
Oh.
Yes, the biggest story that I remember that I'll probably never forget is a pair of paranormal investigators actually basically broke into the property itself. And they found like a hidden door in one of the closets and it was all set up for like satanic rituals. Mm-hmm. And there was like summoning, I want to call them diagrams, but like basically summoning diagrams on the floors, all over the walls. It looked like it was done in blood. There was a cat, like a dead cat in that room. There was like a skull. There was like a bunch of stuff that they said they believed were like satanic rituals that were done in this house that was causing a lot of harmful entities to be present.
Mm. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So here's another thing too that I always find interesting is like, a lot of these places, and even the Bachelor's Grove Cemetery in Illinois, a lot of these places that have a lot of this activity, they talk about, like, satanic rituals happening and satanic whatever, you know, happening in that area. And I just wonder, like, because, like, I know... Satanists, and I know people that practice Satanism, and they don't do shit like that.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, who are these people? Like, they've got to be people who think that they represent Satanists, but they're really not. Like, are they like posers? And then because they think they're doing things that are satanic, that they end up drawing these negative entities in? Because I don't know any Satanists that would go out and smear blood around a house and, you know, sacrifice an animal to call on raise the dead and demons and shit. Like, I don't know any Satanists that do that. And it's just kind of like, who are these people that did this? I mean, really, I don't think it's like one of those, it just reminds me of like these punk kids who like wear upside down crosses and goat's heads and they're like, hey man, like I'm so dark, man. And like, we're going to go and do a ritual, man. And then they like spill all this blood and shit. And then they're like, yeah, look at us. And then they just basically curse the land without knowing what they did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like some crazy people.
Yeah, because I don't really know anything about, I guess, like Satanists and like I guess exactly what they believe. Mm-hmm. But if there's somebody like me who doesn't, I guess, know that,
yeah,
I just automatically assume like, well, these are devil worshippers because they're smearing blood and sacrificing cats or animals, you know, whatever.
Well, my question with, you know, and I don't mean to judge anybody's religions or their beliefs or anything like that.
Because we're very big, like, on our show that, like, everybody has their own beliefs and, like...
Yeah. You know, we're very open-minded and it's a judgment-free zone on our show. But, my question would be, what is it that Satanists believe? Because, you know, if, which of course this is coming from like the, I guess the Christian faith, Satan doesn't seem to be all that good of a, you know, entity.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're worshiping something very evil.
But is that what they're doing?
I would assume with the name Satanist.
So, Satanists believe that Satan was actually an entity of enlightenment, that they actually separated from the Christian God and heaven because it's sort of like the story of like Lilith actually being the first wife before Eve, and because Lilith did all these things she did things independently that was not of the Christian God's liking, he basically cast her out to mother children alone or whatever, and then also with Cain, I believe, somehow she ended up with Cain, I think. But regardless, they don't worship anything actually. Satanists are actually atheist. They don't worship anything at all. They actually don't believe in a god or worship the devil as a god or anything like that. They are more so, and they do practice different things with the elements. That's why they have the pentagram and pentacle. It is a religion, but it's not
like your traditional term for religion, I guess. Like what most people think of is
I guess so. Like I wouldn't even put them under an umbrella term of pagan because they don't believe in anything like that. They see the figures of Satan from the Bible as somebody who gave people an option to think for themselves instead of listening to somebody else tell them what to do. If that makes sense.
Yes. And like that's why like I like our especially like and I know your platform's the same way. Our platform is very big on everybody has their own beliefs and like their own kind of way of going about how they want to live their life.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I mean there's so many different beliefs and religions and backgrounds and you know spiritual paths that people take. But we are very big on understanding, you know, different sides, especially when a lot of people are brought up thinking Satanists are devil worshipers, or even like atheists are devil worshipers, and they're horrible people, but they're not. Like, that's not even close to like what it is.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's really interesting though.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
So I wonder why, like with the Bellwood Mansion, why they just assumed that it's a satanic thing that was going on at that house to cause the negative energy.
A lot of it too, like I'll even say it's a devil or it's a demon because it's a lack of a better term for what it is. I mean, the most negative possible energy that you can think of, I would call it evil, even though there's not really such a thing as good or evil in the world. It's just negative or positive.
Mm-hmm.
So the deepest negative energy is what I guess, you know, people would just refer to as evil because there is no other term to describe something so heinous.
Or like demonic or
right.
Devil.
Right. And even though I myself personally don't believe in the Christian devil or the Christian God, based on Bible teachings, I do believe in very positive light energy and then very negative dark energy. You have to have a balance. And of course, because I practice witchcraft, I practice with nature and the elements and different deities. And so, And just like, you know, Satanists, you know, pagans, they have a lot of different branches that you can go off of. Satanists, there's different types of Satanists too. So there's different branches of those. You have the Church of Satan, and then you have the Temple of Satan. They're two different things. And even though their sort of base beliefs are pretty much the same, just like with pagans, most of their base beliefs are the same. They branch out into different things. And that's like any kind of, you know, religion or spiritual belief.
Oh, yeah.
Too. Like Christianity has their own different branches, you know? But they all have like a central common denominator. But yeah, and you have to think too, because of how we have been taught for so many years, we don't have a better term than to describe it as satanic or evil or the devil, because that's all that we really knew. And going back to before Christianity was introduced to people, when Christianity was introduced and that became like the primary belief system for most people, anything that was not Christianity was satanic. So
yeah,
you know, think back to the very, very beginning, you know, with the Roman emperors and, you know, Constantine, and thinking on that level, they didn't know what else to call it. So if it wasn't Christian, it was evil.
just like, you know, the women who didn't go to church or didn't wear their garments correctly, they were witches.
Mm-hmm. They were witches.
They were just automatically like thrown in a category of you're bad. You go to church, you're good. You don't, you're bad. Like were either, or you weren't a witch. That was it.
Right. Anything not socially acceptable, that's basically how it was viewed, for sure. And it's a shame, but, you know, that's just how it is.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, I'm definitely glad that people have, like, freedom of religion and, like, can kind of choose, like, what they want to do and what they want to believe at this point.
You know, the thing is, and, like, not trying to get all biblical and everything, but we're kind of on the topic.
Yeah. No, it's good, because, I mean, it fits in, because you were talking about things that are reflective of that because of the term, you know, satanic rituals happening, and that's why it's haunted, but...
Right.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, it's still on the same topic, basically. Basically.
So, with like, Christianity, though, and it's one of the things that I'd say bothers me most about it is, you know, Christians are not supposed to judge. You know, that's the biggest, that's a huge thing that I've read in the Bible, and I've seen it multiple times. But then again, you know, a lot of Christians are usually the first to judge,
right.
You know, and that's biblically wrong for them to do, because as a Christian, you're not supposed to, because, you know, that's ultimately God's choice, or what he does is he does the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for, and actually it's actually a sin, from what I've gathered, to judge others.
Well, and from my own personal experience, the most non-judgmental people I have ever met in my entire life are the people who are not what you would typically call, like, Christians, I guess, who kind of just follow their own path and do their own thing. Like, those are the most amazing people I've ever met in my entire life, who believe differently.
But, I mean, for them to, you know, for them to just automatically cast these people out just because, oh, well, you're not a Christian. That, I mean, first and foremost, you're judging.
Well, I will say, like, you, Stephanie, like, I think opened my eyes to, like, so many different things and have brought so much positivity into my life. I don't think I'd ever be able to thank you enough for that. But, I mean, that's just, I mean, I've, like I said, I've met some of the most amazing people who don't always share the same beliefs. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's, I think, the cool part about it.
Right, right. Because a lot of Christians, you know, they would automatically judge you. They'd be like, oh, you're a pagan. Oh,
It still happens today when you, and a lot of us too. It's like, that's why people aren't out of the broom closet, so to speak, because they're terrified of the repercussions of what their family's going to think, what their friends from church are going to think if they're wearing a pentacle, or if they, you know, buy a book on witchcraft, or if they draw a sigil on a candle and burn it to bring them some money or something like that. And I just think that even now, this day and age, we're still being judged by other people who have not given the chance to research what it really means, and who have not, my mom is a devout Christian. She reads her Bible every day. She's read it front to back. And she says the same thing that you're saying, Ethan, is that, you know, to be a Christian, it's not my place to tell you that you're going to burn in hell or that you're a bad person, because am I going to believe that my daughter, my friend, my mother, you know, whoever, because they are openly communicating the fact that they practice witchcraft, and that they are a self-proclaimed, you know, witch or practitioner or whatever, Satanist, Odinist, whatever, that it's not her place to say, you know, that I'm doing something wrong. It's her place to do what the Bible tells Christians to do, is to, you know, follow the word. You can spread the word and talk about the word, you know, if that's like your place in life to be that way, right. But not to judge other people and put them down. They're exactly. Here to share the word of their God, because that's what he says in the Bible.
Right.
And I've even said, you know, well, what about the places in the Bible that say, you know, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live? And then when you jump to this next part, it says, like, anybody who practices mysticism and, you know, scrying or fortune telling or anything like that, those are acts that are basically deemed as blasphemous or, you know, whatever in the eyes of the Christian God. And you could totally give me your take on this too, Ethan. But like for my mom, she feels that it is, it's not a literal sense. It's in the sense of like if you took it as a literal sense, you as a Christian could take me out back and stone me to death. But, you know,
right.
As a non-literal sense, it's like, just don't do those things if you believe in me and believe in my word. But don't, you're not supposed to murder somebody.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they don't believe in what you believe in.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, that would, to me, you know,
well,
looking
so
at
hopefully the, he doesn't take that literally.
Right.
Right. I don't.
I'm just sorry. Like, you might lose anyway, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'll give you my take, and then you understand why I'm not concerned about it. So,
yeah.
So my take on it, well, first and foremost, from what I have read, most, if not all of that stone them because they're a pagan is in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And in the New Testament, whenever Jesus was born, you know, he made more or less amendments to the Ten Commandments, more or less. I'll say mm-hmm. that again. Because, and that's actually why, one of the reasons that led him to be crucified is because people looked at him as, oh, well, he thinks he is God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really what it was is he was delivering a message directly from his father, which was God, saying, okay, so maybe don't stone them, but instead, show them love.
Mm-hmm.
you know, there's a lot of different changes that Jesus had made in the Bible to correct a lot of the harsher Moses laws, so to speak. So, you know, where someone who reads the Old Testament might say, you know what, no, they need to be stoned to death. And then, you know, someone who reads only the Old Testament.
And some religions do only read, that.
And some do read that. That's why you still see stoning on the news. You know, there's people in this third world country that stone people to death.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they may have not read the New Testament, or they may not believe in the New Testament. But the primary thing that is in the New Testament is for people to, the moral of the story, from what I've read, is live like Jesus. And that is to love everybody, regardless of their beliefs, regardless of what they do, and to, you know, leave the judgment to God and not do it yourself. Just like, for example, there was, I'll be brief in this story that I read in the Bible, just because I don't want to drag it out all night. But there was a moment where this group of people had brought this lady who was caught in the act of adultery to, and they brought her to Jesus, and they were saying, oh, here's what she did. We caught her in the act of adultery. We need to stone her. And instead, what Jesus had told them was, he who has not sinned can throw the first stone. And everybody, one by one, walked away because they haven't, you know, oh, well, I sinned the other day whenever I coveted my neighbor or whatever, or whatever they may have done. So one by one, they walked away until Jesus was the only one standing there. And he just said, well, you're forgiven. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that was a big thing that I saw. And that's, really, if you're going to be a Christian, you need to live like that. You need to not just bash people and try to condemn them for things that they do or think.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or believe.
Because even like the broom closet that Stephanie referred to, which like I'm slowly coming out of mine, slowly but surely. But like I could go into, let's say, Lifeway, that's even still open, like the Christian bookstore. I could go in there and feel just fine. Nobody's judging me coming in here. But when I pull up in the parking lot of the metaphysical store, I'm like checking, like, okay, who's here? Is it anybody that I know? As soon as I walk out of the store with a bag full of stuff, like, and it shouldn't be that way.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times I want to go into the metaphysical store and I'm like, maybe not. Maybe another day, because I know I'm going to be judged if I go in here and come out with a bag full of stuff. You know?
It sucks that way, because I've even had a couple people come into the store just by chance, and then they're, you know, I mean, they hear other people that are talking openly about what they're practicing. You know, they're like, do I need this or that for a money spell that I need to do for this or that? I have this coming up. And then do I need this ingredient for, you know, whatever ritual they're doing, a new moon ritual or whatever? And the look on their faces sometimes is like total utter shock, because they're like, people talk openly about the things that they're doing. Like, the occult itself is a hidden mystery. So it's like, for people who are not used to this, they're more used to being closed off and not talking about it because it's not acceptable in their family. It's just funny because they come into the store and, you know, we get people of all walks of everything, you know, come into the store. And for her, this particular person, she was just in utter shock, because she was like, I can talk about what I believe here. And we were like, yeah, you can talk about anything you want to here. It was just, she couldn't get over it. And it's so shocking to me that nowadays it's like, in this modern time, even with all of the freedoms that we do have, we still aren't completely free because of other people's judgment. And until we're able to let go of that, you know, it's still going to affect us in a certain way. Robert said he doesn't mind walking into a metaphysical store in any other town other than his hometown. And then again, He said, then again, I don't think my hometown even has one. So it's kind of like when he, I know, because when he's actually going to be moving back to his hometown next month, and I know that this has been a concern for him as well, was that he's going to have to, certain things that he, because he is a Christian, his family knows him to be Christian, and his friends are church members that are Christian, and he's even gotten a couple of comments back from some of these people telling him that, you know, it's a sin and that there's something wrong with what he's doing. And so now when he moves back to his hometown, he's afraid that he won't be able to express himself like he has been able to a little more openly here. Like coming into Valhalla's Gate, buying crystals, buying a tarot deck, buying this or that, pendulums, whatever.
And that's BS too, because, you know, if the folks in his hometown are true Christians, and they shouldn't judge.
Or even like in Dover, I wish we had something like that here in Dover, but we will never get anything like that here in Dover.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sad there's a lot of hypocrisy with. It irritates me. I'm sorry. It makes me mad whenever you get, you know, Christians that are so quickly to judge, because it very clearly says in the Bible,
do not judge.
That's like one of the number one rules.
And knowing like Robert personally, like, I mean, that sucks, because he's a great human being. And like, like, people just accept him for being a great human being, regardless of what he does in his own personal sanctuary, his own personal space.
Yeah, you know, regardless of what he does, whether, you know, whether I think it's right or wrong for me to do the same thing, you know, that's it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, all I got to say to Robert, man, is you do you, and those who are going to be judging, they're hypocrites.
And I'm a firm believer that, like, because I have got, like, I'm very big on, like energy and people's energy, like, if it's negative, I don't want it in my life. And since I have become that way, I have the smallest group of people in my life, but it is the most, what is the word I'm looking for?
I don't know
either. It's just, it's
dynamic, or chemistry, or bonding, or something like that. Like,
but it's the most positive group of, I mean, I, when I was in high school, I was, you know, I mean, I lived at home with my parents who were, you know, we went to church whenever the doors were open. And I was surrounded by all of these Christians and doing all this BBS stuff and mission trips in the community. I've never felt so unwelcome anywhere. But now that I've shortened my circle and I've incorporated certain things into my life, it has been amazing.
Yeah.
Right, right. And I saw that Robert says that it seems like it's not socially acceptable, whether or not they say it, it's just the feeling. I mean, the thing at the end of the day, whether it's socially acceptable or not, you know, you're still, if you're thinking of the judgment, you're still judging, because that's all it takes. I mean, so that's on them. That's not on you, Robert. I mean, if they're going to sit there and give you a dirty look because of anything that you believe in, they're already passing judgment and condemning themselves. And you know, they need to really reread the Bible and, you know, rethink their position in their Christian faith, because that's BS.
With me and Ethan, like, our paths are kind of going, I would say different directions, but they are. Our paths are different right now. Mm-hmm. But you're still very accepting of, like, what I choose to do with, like, my smudging and my crystals. And
I can't judge you.
And, you know, my meditation and things like that. But I'm also supportive of you and, like, the path you want to take. And I feel like that should be with anybody. Because I think, Stephanie, you and Leander are the same way. Like, you guys might think differently about certain things. You guys are still super supportive of each other.
Yeah. And that was, you know, that was a very scary thing for me in the very beginning when we started dating. And I it took me, like, 6 months to be like, hey, so this is kind of what I believe in. I'm getting really antsy because I really would like to set up my altar, and like, I really just didn't want you to, like, wake up one day and you see pentacles everywhere and be like, what the hell's going on here? but it was just, like, I was tired of, like, living that secretive life, and it was like, you know what? If I'm really starting my life over and I'm taking a journey with somebody that I want to be with, I should probably let this person know. So, because I don't want to hide it anymore. I don't want to be a secret part of my life like it was before for years. Mm-hmm. And like hide it and not talk about it because of fear. You know, and speaking of fear, TJ and Candace on Facebook, they said religion being taught in fear just sets up the karma. I believe that. Like, I just feel like,
yeah,
you know, it's setting you up for just a bad situation and a loop around of that energy that you're giving out. And I don't think that anybody should believe in something just because they're afraid of the latter.
Right.
Absolutely.
And I agree. And one of the biggest contradictions that was, depending on what church you go to, I guess, is whenever, you know, if they focus on all the negativity that comes with the negative consequences that comes with doing certain things in the Bible. I mean, a lot of the people, they don't. Everyone focuses so hard on the Old Testament with, like, the stoning and all the consequences that you need to suffer through for doing one thing or another. And it's like they completely overlook the New Testament, where it's, you know, just live like Jesus.
Well, and I mean, this might be an unpopular opinion, but from the research that I have done, I think it was like during the Roman times, they could not instill fear on people with like the rulers anymore. So they insisted on fear of religion. But I've never known any other belief system to be started by fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right. And I mean, I don't think, I mean, even like pagans or Wiccans or, you know, atheists or Buddhists, anything like that, to my knowledge, was never started with fear. Like the fear of every single consequence of if you ever step a toe out of line. Like, and that, you know, is one thing that I think people still hold to this day is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The fear of God.
Yeah, and see with my I guess religious journey that I'm going on. And it's crazy how, you know, Bethany was talking about how we were going on two completely different paths, because whenever we first started our relationship, she was like a Christian,
mm-hmm.
you know, more of the Christian mm-hmm. values and beliefs and so on. And I was more in the secular side of things, and we literally slowly, like, kind of crossed paths and then kept going. And she has gone more towards the secular and the pagan and all that, and I've gone more of the Christian mm-hmm. route. But I won't say that I'm not, you know, partially still secular.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that in Christianity it's either you believe or you don't.
That's also a very unpopular opinion.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I've had a couple folks tell me that, you know, now that I'm going through this journey, I should go get baptized. But for the sake of me and the respect for the religion and everyone in it, I'm not going to get baptized unless I am fully 100% on board. But you know, I still have questions, and if mm-hmm. I still have questions, then I'm not a true Christian, I guess, because
right.
you know, he is different. Varying thoughts in my head, like, okay, so how does this make sense? You know, what's up with this part? Or I don't know if I believe that. So, you know, I don't want to get baptized if I'm not like all gung ho. Yeah, let's be like Jesus. Woo!
Right, you know? Right. And I think that that's an important thing for anybody going into a spiritual journey or a faith path of some sort, regardless of what faith or religion that it is. I think that it's important to not just jump into something and say, oh, well, this sounds good. I'm Wiccan now. Or like, yeah, right? Or like, oh yeah, this sounds like exactly what I grew up with. I'm a Christian now. And then, you know, it's just, to me, I feel like that's important. You know, with paganism, we have different things. I mean, certain people, they might join a coven or they might be initiated, or some people like myself, I'm just solitary, eclectic. So I don't belong to a coven. I don't have like a high priestess that has initiated me or anything like that. I'm just self-initiated, I guess, or not even initiated, but self-proclaimed, I guess. And it was just something that I did for myself, where I was like, okay, so now that I'm allowed to have my space where I can practice and I can be in my own element, and I know that my significant other's not, you know, it's not causing any problems at home front, it's not causing any issues with my job, and I've had that fear before too, like if somebody found out that you know, that I practice this, even though they're not allowed to fire me for it, we live in the Bible Belt, like who the hell knows what they would come up with and be like, oh, we need to fire her because she practices witchcraft. You know what I mean? So it's scary as shit. It's very scary because they could be like, oh, well, she wasn't working out or whatever, when really they just didn't want me there because I wasn't Christian. Or, you know, whatever.
I wouldn't want to do that because I don't want a witch spell after me.
Right? You don't want that hex.
No.
Poor Ethan has watched way too much Supernatural, I think, at this point. That like,
yeah, right. you've been watching Charmed too much back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll pass on all that hexing and whatnot.
And that's one thing I think is crazy too. Like, Charmed was so glorified. Supernatural is so glorified.
But it's not socially acceptable.
Oh my gosh! If you tell somebody that you're pagan or Wiccan, you are like the worst human being on the face of the earth.
Right. Or even like the new show, Sabrina, The Chilling Tales of Sabrina or whatever. Just the backlash that it got from some, you know, Christian people. And the show that's on Amazon Videos, The Good Omens, with the David Tennant, who was one of the doctors for Doctor Who. It's getting really bad backlash from a lot of Christian people because of what's involved with it. And, you know, it's just, it just baffles me because it's like, people, this is not real, okay? Like, it is a movie, it is a TV show, or like The Craft, when The Craft came out, oh my god, like,
oh, yes.
You know, that was big time. I mean, it's just like one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's based on a true thing. Like, it's based is the key word.
Right.
That's not actually how it works. I can't come to your home and make your house fill up with snakes and spiders. It just, yeah, it doesn't happen that way. Unless I drop a roofie in your coffee, not gonna happen, more than likely. That is Hollywood. That's Hollywood's take on, you know, making it more than what it seems. Because if they were to really make a movie if they were to make a movie to, what do you call it? Like, I want to say to scale, but it's not. To, like, reality, mm-hmm, it would be kind of boring. Because it would be, like, following me around for the day. It's like, oh, she's a witch. What does she do? I probably went and walked barefoot through some grass. I looked at a flower and appreciated it. I came inside and I meditated, fell asleep, and drank some herbal tea before bed. That's what I did today. And, you know, that's what that is. It's like, damn, you know, I lit a candle and I said, thank you for everything that I have in my life. And that was my witchcraft for the day. Oh no, stone me. It's like,
yeah,
you know, it would be very boring for many people if they saw what witches actually do every day. It's like,
or even like with the paranormal group, like, you know, mm-hmm, like Ghost Adventures and like some of these shows on TV are so,
so dramatic.
theatrical. And I'm like, if you guys really just went on an investigation with just your typical paranormal group, you would sit there for 6 hours crossing your fingers and toes and anything else you could cross, hoping something would happen. But you could not debunk as like somebody else talking or somebody knocked something out. I mean, it would be the most boring thing ever.
Yeah, I spent on the investigation that I did, I spent, I think it was like probably anywhere from 4 to 6 hours freezing my nuts off just for a flashlight to flash on and off.
I mean, and that's usually how it works.
Which, you know, it was super exciting that the flashlight was flashing on and off because it was like almost on command. But
you probably
at the same time, I froze my nuts off.
Yeah. I was going to say, you might have to, you within a 7 hour time span, you might get a 20 second maybe whisper that might be something from the other side.
Well, right. You went to the Fowler Theater, nothing happened at all.
Yeah,
I went, and like the next time we went, my hair got pulled. Like, and there was some creepy stuff that went on, but it's not always like that. I mean,
yeah, they were actually filming a documentary whenever all that stuff happened, too. So that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because we've actually.
That'll be at the convention in August.
Yeah, you're going to that, right?
Yeah, I'm actually going to that. I was just going to say. For that thing that's happening in August. Woohoo! I can't wait. Like, so I was actually going to ask you about that too before we wrapped up and then we ended up on another tangent. But that's good. That's good. It's a healthy conversation. I love it. For the thing in August, is that, so it's how long is it? And then, like, are we spending the night there? Am I spending the night with you guys in this place? Like, what all is happening? Because I know I'm signed up as a vendor, but I'm just curious as to how that all works. Do you know?
So, all the vendor stuff will be going on, like, throughout the day. We've got movies showing. Like, we've got different paranormal groups coming to show, like, their documentaries or their movies that they've made. Ours, for 765, is the last one of the night. I forgot what time that is. I'll have to look. I'll have to repost that link on our page for sure. But then we're going to do an investigation tour, and you have to buy separate tickets for that. But we're doing the jail, the theater, and Etter Tire, which used to actually be the old opera house. And I think we're spending 2 hours per location, so that's like six hour investigation for three sites. And then after that, basically it's all done.
Okay. So is it an overnighter? I mean, obviously I'm probably guessing that we would spend the night because I probably will not drive back that night.
You know, I know we will definitely be getting a hotel for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. If you can handle snoring, you can, I mean, I don't know if you snore, but
split a room and get a double bed.
Yeah,
we can handle that. And while I actually saw it on your chat, I think is that the YouTube chat maybe?
Yeah, Robert asking. Me. Yeah.
So I saw where he had asked us. He says, Bethany and Ethan, I'm curious as to how the differences in your paths influence the kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Well, my opinion on that, because me and Ethan kind of had lightly touched on it just because our kids are, what, almost 6 and almost 3. So we'll just say 6 and 3. I do want them to have, like, a strong moral grounding because I do think, like, the Christian faith has good morals, like you should be respectful and kind to others.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want them to know that mommy believes a little differently than daddy does, and that I have found comfort and peace in other things that to me are just as sacred and just as precious as like what you believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in all honesty, as far as, I mean, we're really, I think we're kind of wanting to make sure that we try and start them towards like the Christian faith, you know, not necessarily as you've got to be a Christian or anything like that, but you know, really, I think that specifically the New Testament, is a really good handbook on how not to be a douchebag in life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if nothing else, having them learn the New Testament and try to start living that way and living a life like that, regardless of whether we believe it or not, I think is a really good foundation for them, just because they're not going to be a bunch of little douchebags when they get bigger, because you know they're going to be like, okay, well, that's the wrong thing to do. Mm-hmm. But as far as discussing, oh well, your mom's a pagan and I'm a Christian or anything like that, that's probably a little ways down the road. We're going to start off with that, like, oh, we're going to church, let's bring your pagan mom, you know.
Let's stone her in the back of the church, like,
right.
Which there is actually something in the Bible for that. Believe it or not, stop laughing. It's contagious. So in the Bible, if you're a Christian man and you are married to an unchristian woman, according to the Christian faith and in the Bible, she is still more or less got a spot up in heaven with you, because, or with a man, because, you know, whenever they get married and make the vows to each other, they become one in God's eyes. And so just because she may be a pagan, I can still grab her and bring her up to heaven with me and, you know, save a spot for her, which I never knew that until I read the Bible.
Now, like, when our kids do get old enough to kind of make those decisions by themselves, like, I don't know, let's just say 16 to 18-ish, whatever age you want to consider old enough to make their own decisions. With that, I want our kids to know that they can do their own thing.
Without being judged.
Without being judged. As long as they're not harming anybody else by doing whatever they believe in, I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Kinsley wants to meditate with me or Jeremy wants to meditate with me, and, you know, if they want to, you know, become like Reiki masters and learn how to do those things, I'm totally cool with that. Like, do you, boo-boo? Like, I don't care.
Right.
At the end of the day, as a Christian, I can't judge them. So, I mean,
I preach to Jeremy now that, like, monsters aren't real and, like, ghosts aren't real. Because he asked, like, Mommy, are ghosts real? Because he knows that I'm on a paranormal group. Like, mm-hmm. you know, because he's asked me, like, Mommy, what do you do? You know, what do you do for work? And I'm like, well, I'm a mom to you and your sister. And he's like, well, what else do you do? Like, with Uncle Jay. And I'm like, well, I'm a paranormal investigator. And he's just like, oh, that's so cool. Like, my mom's a ghost hunter. Like, he thinks that's the coolest thing ever. Aww. Now, when he gets older, I would let them explore those options. I would never force that on my children.
Right.
Like, not in a million years.
Yeah.
But I guess that's really the best way to explain, like, how we would handle that with our kids.
Yeah. So establishing a moral positive moral foundation, and then let them decide what they're going to pursue as they get older and make decisions for themselves when they're old enough to decide what resonates with them the most. Like, I feel like I would end up doing the same, especially too, because, you know, I practice certain things and Leander doesn't really believe in that stuff. And so I feel like and then I was raised Catholic. So, like, I know about some of the moral teachings that were in the Bible too, and I feel like, you know, there is a lot of good moral fiber that comes from a lot of different religions, and I think essentially they all basically believe in the same thing, they just call it different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be honest, I'm not too familiar with it, but, you know, if Bethany was like full force, like, Buddhist, I'd be okay with that moral background for my, you know, foundation for my kids, because Buddhists are good people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they have very beautiful, like, belief systems,
right.
And like, mm-hmm. the way they live their lives, I'm like, I think is very
right.
Highly sought after for a lot of people.
I feel like that's where I actually started my spiritual journey. I was drawn to Buddhism very, very much so. And then along that path, I was like, what else has to do with nature? And then that's how I found Wicca. And then after Wicca, it was like, well, what else is similar to Wicca? And then it was like, oh, all these other things, there's so many other things that are similar. And I think that's kind of where that whole path opened up a little bit, you know, was from there, because that's what drew me a little bit. Hey, Kayla. Kayla's here. She says hello.
Kayla!
And I will say, like, I wish I would have, I'm going to say been allowed to explore different options when I was younger, because who's to say that, like, I wouldn't have been a better person?
Right.
I wouldn't have gotten caught up in certain things that I got caught up in because I wasn't allowed to explore different options for different paths or journeys or things like that.
Right.
Right.
I want to make sure, like, our children are given as much opportunity as possible to find the path that best suits them.
Right.
You know, I mean, but do you like, whenever they turn, like, 13, happy birthday, here's a Bible, here's a Quran, here's a, you know, hand them all the different
religious books,
but,
like,
say, you want to be Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, Christian, or pagan, or
no, but,
Wiccan,
like,
or,
if our kids are, like, you know, because, I mean, they're eventually going to ask me, like, you know, Mom, why do you take that stick full of smoke and, you know, burn it in the house? I'm going to have to explain that to them at some point. So even just kind of having to explain those things, or, you know, Mommy, why do you use stones and crystals when you meditate? Well, this is why. That might open their minds to, like, oh, so there's more than just one thing that I'm allowed to believe in.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully just not too young. That'll confuse the crap out of me. I'm 29 and I'm still kind of confused, to be honest.
Yeah, it's, I feel like any type of faith that you take seriously to heart, I feel like it's a lifelong journey. I feel like you will never stop learning and you'll always, you know, keep building onto it. And I mean, that goes for me too. And I feel like that goes for my mom, who's a Christian, and probably you too. You know, there's always something else that you're building on and learning from it, because you're having different experiences with different people in different days and different emotions and different, you know, whatever circumstances come up. It changes things, you know, just like you going from one thing to another, and then Bethany's journey being the opposite.
Or, right.
You know, just, you know, starting even from anywhere, really, like that. It really does start a journey for you. I changed many times, you know, what I kind of believed, and now I don't really, you know, for the most part, I don't really label or put a title on myself as really anything, except for just an eclectic, solitary practice. I practice a lot of different things. I mean, in general, yeah, it is witchcraft. So, I mean, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, but, see, whenever it gets down to religion, and this is probably the hardest part for me, is, you know, in my opinion, the Bible, the Old Testament, doesn't go far enough back. But the one thing that really bothers me, and maybe it's just because of my personality, is, you know, it's like on the first day there was light, or, you know, whatever it was first.
Sorry.
That was like 30 books ago. So
yeah.
But anyway, so on the first day, it talks about what God created on the first day. Well, and I'm like, for me, it's like, hold up. Who created God?
Right.
Or how did God get created? Because that's... Because
you're very, like, you need to see, like, the steps
very
of
analytical.
How... Yes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so whenever it comes to religion, that's where I stop right there. I'm like, okay, I do not want to look into anything before that moment. I don't want those questions, because whenever I do, it really starts getting me to question my faith again. Because,
right.
You know, suddenly I went from it, you know, it's God. Yeah. You know, then after that, it's just like, but wait, where did God come from? You know, it's the wildest thing. I mean, but at the same time, I don't think that everything just came out of thin air. You know, that's kind of weird.
And I definitely like Robert's point. He said, for me, it was seeing the similarities between the different religions that I started to become more curious, although I've always been drawn to the idea of magic. And I definitely do think once you start researching, just researching about, you know, what other people believe in and why, I mean, it definitely gets interesting for sure.
Yeah, the similarities are really unbelievable sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, my mom and I have even had that conversation. Like I said, my mom's a devout Christian. And even with her, she says, even though I call it God and you call it something else, or like if I say the universe doesn't give you something you can't handle, and she says God never gives you something you can't handle, who is anybody to say that those two are not the same damn thing? Because
exactly.
For me, what I refer to as prana, or which is life force itself, is exactly, if I were to write out the best definition I could about what I call, you know, prana, or the universe, or life force, which is prana itself. But if I were to write out the best description I possibly could to match the closest of what that is, it's gonna be like the same definition of what my mom says God is. And so I just feel like if we're all, and that was her point too, is like, so if we're all talking about the same thing, whether it's Hindu, Buddhist, Christian, Wicca, you know, whatever pagan religion you are from, whatever, and we're all talking about the same thing with the same definition, we just have a different name for it, then there's no way that I would ever say that this person who is a good person and lives peacefully, never does harm to anybody else, never even harms a spider coming into their house. There's no way that I would be able to literally say that that person is damned to suffer the eternal flames of hell, because they're not Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. You know, that was my whole thing, was like, okay, if, you know, if we all are believing in the same thing and we're doing good, then if we're doing positive things, then what does it really matter? And to extreme radicalists, they're like, you have to believe in what I believe in because my way is the only way. Those extremists are what I have an issue with, you know?
Yeah,
it goes right back to that fear.
Exactly. Almost. Exactly. Right.
And we can thank the Romans for that.
Really, what it comes down to is, you know, if, like you said, if we, what we believe in is the same thing, but we call it different names, are any of us wrong? I mean,
right. Exactly. We're just calling it something different.
Yeah.
But we're all here trying to make the world a better place, or trying to, you know, be more accepting of people and be healthier inside and outside and have a safe place to go to within ourselves, you know, that's tapping into that source. Okay. And just because we call it something else, that's exactly what it is. You're still right.
Like a personal preference kind of thing.
But I'll tell you what, I'm curious AF as to, you know, what it really is, you know?
I mean,
I want to know that if I die, is that it?
But like, right. That's what I think it goes back to, like, what you believe, like what makes you the most comfortable, like with how you live your life and what you think is going to happen when you die. Like, some people might be more comfortable just thinking that, like, when we die, that's it. There's no judgment. There's no nothing. There's no, like, that's it.
Right. It's just lights out.
Yeah. Or some people might be more comfortable thinking that it's an endless, blissful paradise for all eternity. I mean, some people, I think it's just what you find comfort in is
Yeah, I understand that, but at the same time, I want to know what happened. You know, it's just like, am I gonna go to heaven? Am I gonna be a fertilizer for a tree?
Well, you're.
Am I, you know, what am I gonna be a tree?
Well, you're older than me, so I'll reach out to you when you pass away, and then we'll figure out what's really going on.
You know, and right? I will pull what if I have it, depending on what happens when I die. I will pull whatever residual energy I can. I will turn off all the lights in the house just so I can say, when you die, nothing happens.
Well, technically,
yes, please tell us.
Technically, you'd be in the veil at that point if right. That's something you believe in. And then, I mean, that would be what I see.
Okay. When you die, you go to the veil. That's it.
Right.
You know? And it's crowded in here, and there's a lot
crowded.
Of BO.
It's crowded in here.
Right.
Because... See, I mean, like, for me, like, whenever I think of, like heaven, for example,
mm-hmm.
I know that heaven is supposed to be, like, this infinite paradise or whatever, but at the same time, whenever I sit there and really start thinking about it, at some point, it's got to get crowded.
You're very, like... You overthink sometimes.
I do.
But time and space is relative in that realm. You only think of it as space because we're in a three-dimensional physical space. When you get into that fourth and fifth dimension, there is no such thing as physical space.
It's just open.
It's just, yeah.
That confuses the crap out of me.
It's just there.
Because it's just like, what?
Yeah, no, right. Now, then we're getting into some quantum physics here.
Yeah.
Let me explain to you. No, I'm just kidding.
Next episode.
No, we're saving that for the podcast.
Right? No, the next podcast we do is going to have to be on this topic.
Yeah. Robert said heaven has 70 virgins paradise.
Isn't that
Mormons?
I thought it was Muslim. No, wait, is it? Is it 70 for the Muslims?
I think it's 72.
Yeah.
Okay. Now my question on that.
72 virgins, I believe.
My question on that is, why are you given a bunch of virgins?
Right.
Different heavens, I think, are just like maybe it's. I don't want to say a
sexual
prize.
Pleasure?
That sounds really bad saying it's a prize.
Well,
I don't.
What it sounds like.
I don't know another word for it, but
maybe
that's
like.
You don't
have 70 virgins.
Well, for like the Christians, you get like jewels on your crown for like all mm-hmm. the good deeds you did. So maybe that's like.
Yeah.
Their gift for
it's
being.
Like are virgins like their most prized possession or something? Like, what are you gonna do with them?
Yeah, like yeah. I mean.
And. Thank goodness. I see Kayla on Facebook said that she's had these similar questions, but never really searched into it. Thank God I'm not the only person that thinks this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
but you're not, but like a lot of people are just scared to talk about it. I mean, that goes back to what we had talked, well, got way off topic of earlier, I guess.
Yeah,
we went from talking about the Bell Witch to is heaven real? You know, how does this work?
But I
mean,
think
it's still related though, because paranormal, it's like if you die... And
oh, yeah.
Then how can there be ghosts? Because there are some Christian people that are like, there's no such thing as ghosts because it doesn't say so in the Bible. You know what
right.
I mean? So, I mean, it's still related.
But technically, it says not to... Because I asked Ethan that. What did I say? I was like, it says... Like, some Christians are like, ghosts aren't real. That's of the devil. I'm like, but it says in the Bible, don't go searching after them. So how are you
right.
going to search after something that's not real?
Right.
It also says in the Bible that it is real.
So. Right. So that's very confusing to me.
Yeah, right. So now my other question, and I hope this doesn't get into like a no-go zone as far as...
A no-go zone?
Yeah, I feel like I should pull Bethany off to the side and say, hey, should I ask this?
Oh, gosh.
Should I talk about this? But I'm just going to go ahead and go there. No judgment from me, and please don't be judging me for asking this question. But... It's a sincere question and a legitimate question,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
So let's just go with the 70 virgins again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, for as politically correct as I can come up with, the virgins, like, and I'm trying not to be offensive in any way. If your door swings a certain way,
well,
are the virgins that you receive of that way well, that the door swings.
You got to think, though, if in their religion they don't believe in that,
right.
Then absolutely not.
But there again, like, there's Christians that mm-hmm. their door swings that way. Mm-hmm. I can only assume that there are Muslims who have a door swinging that way.
If that's the way you live your life, according to, I think, any Christian I've ever talked to, you're
an abomination. So you're null and void.
Yeah, you're not going to heaven, so that's not even an option for you.
Okay, well, right. What if you're of a different Muslim denomination? It's like Muslim denomination.
Well,
of folks
I don't
whose door swing the.
Well,
know,
I don't.
Direction.
I don't know any religion that, like, just off the top of my head that I can think of that believes that that's like. Not an abomination, I guess, for whatever reason. That's just, I mean, it's something that's in the book, and that's just kind of how people basically, if that's the way you are, you're not getting into heaven, end of story. That's just the end. You're done, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if they believe,
well,
they
I don't
can.
Well, then I don't know. I don't know about that. But I mean, but basically, to answer your question, I think in almost all religions like that, that's not, but like Stephanie said, that's an abomination, and you're just, that's mm-hmm. the end, you know.
So, now, what about, like, with the Christian faith? Because I guess that's almost technically, like, an abomination to have a wrong swinging door.
Right. In the Bible, it does say that homosexuals are an abomination because you're not supposed to have a man lay with a man.
So does that mean that they're condemned forever?
Yes.
In that literal text, yes. But how my mom has explained it to me is that it's just not her place to say that they're going to burn in hell or that right. that's what she should wish upon them or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's more so that's just. It's more so that you're supposed to, I guess, pray for them that they see the light or something along
that they
those lines.
Their hinges.
Like that's just. But, I mean, that's kind of how it is.
But here's the problem I have with that. If you take someone who does that
mm-hmm.
or feels that way about mm-hmm. the same gender, and they live an amazing, you know, walk like Jesus life,
mm-hmm.
and they're because I know several people who are attracted to the same gender, but they're Christians and they're like the next best thing to Jesus, you know. And mm-hmm. you can't tell me that God's gonna be like, ah, well, you burn in hell, you know, you did that, you burn in hell. Because
I think it's the way people interpret the book.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's just, it's all on interpretation.
My mom, according to what my mom says, she says that there's a sort of slumber, I guess, that people are in. And if they're a good person, morally good and positive person, but they don't fully conform to the Christian text as to, like, worshiping the one and only God and following scripture and being heterosexual and not having unclean thoughts and yada yada yada, that when you die, that slumber is basically lifted, and at that point you still have the chance to face God and say, I was wrong, I accept you as my father, whatever, and then you can move on or something along those lines. She explains it way better than I do, but in general, that's kind of what she said, is that she would not see that a homosexual person who lives a good life, keeps to themselves, doesn't do anything wrong or hurtful to other people, there's no reason why that person should suffer damnation just because of who they prefer to partner with in their life, in this lifetime. So yeah,
that's especially if, you know, they walk a better life than, you know, a heterosexual Christian.
Right. Know? Right. So, you know, that's her kind of thing. Sorry. Her stance on that. Oh, Robert said, Hinduism accepts the idea of a third gender. It is sort of Hinduism. Oh my gosh, what's going on? I have like a scratch in my throat.
Sorry. I think Bethany wants to say something if you want to get back. Oh, no. You look like you were going to say something.
Did I? Oh.
Yeah, I was going to let her clear her
throat. I think that's just my fate.
Oh.
Because holy double and everything, like you're about to say something.
Oh, no, I think, I don't know what was going on.
No, so what I was thinking of, like that third gender thing that that he's saying, oh, and then he also said, they do say there's a difference between orientation and practicing of homosexuality. So that's another thing, too, but... What I was going to say about the third gender thing is if you look at pictures of Krishna, there's, I have a statue of Baphomet too. They have both parts. So it's basically in the sense of like, there's really not a gender in the other realm. And so because of that, you're able to, swap out parts or whatever. I don't want to say swap out, but it essentially you're both. There is no gender in the other realm. You're just spirit. Right.
There's like a fluidity with so it. It's just kind of you're so just a you're, human.
So instead right. of having both, maybe you have none.
Yeah, right. You're just
like if you look between your legs, it's just as flat as your thigh.
Well, it's just yeah, you're just a being.
Right, you're just in existence. You're just energy. It's just, I guess, if you want to call it like your soul or your life force, your essence, you know, what you're made of outside of physical form. There really is no gender, and so that's why, you know, when you look at some of these deities, they resemble both male and female. They have boobs and a phallus. So it's like in both they have both parts or they have no parts because it's not one or the other in that realm and respect. They have it's always about the balance, the male right. and female, the dark and light, and so on. As above, so below. You know, and so that's that. Kayla said that there's no title. Yeah, there's really not. Kayla said she's thought all those similar things for sure. She agrees with Bethany. Always been scared to look or believe in anything because of the way she was raised. But if that's... Oh, and then she said also about homosexuals being... if that's the way that they feel, didn't God make them that way? So,
yeah,
I mean, seeing it from that point, and that even goes into a whole political debate, too, of like, are homosexuals born that way or do they choose to be that way? You know, that's a whole political thing that's like totally.
And I think it's kind of the play with like even like belief systems, you know, I'm definitely more on like the pagan side, not like the biblical side. But for me, if God didn't want that to be an option, that would have never been brought into my life. Now, some people right. could argue that was, you know, the devil bringing that to my life. That's, you know, whatever. That's mm-hmm. not my personal belief. But, but you know, why was that introduced into my life? If, let's say, God thought it was just so wrong, I would have never been introduced to things like that.
Right.
To make my life better. It's just kind of like my viewpoint, I guess, on that.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I think of it too, like when you were saying, like, when I die, what happens? You know, do we go to heaven? Do we go to hell? You know, are we in like what Catholics believe to be purgatory, like an in-between place? And my view is really, it still sticks to like this eclectic view of things. I think that because we're energy, we're just in a physical form in this lifetime, once we die, that energy, it can't be destroyed. So like what happens to it? And I feel like it still continues to exist, but just in a different type of dimension. Mm-hmm. And I think that dimension that we end up in is part of our consciousness. And if your consciousness is a positive person that lived in light and love and goodness and humble, you know, way of thinking and so on and so forth, helping others and that sort of thing. Because you want to get to heaven or whatever nirvana your consciousness accepts as heaven, when your consciousness moves on to that realm, that is what exists. So if you're a good person and you move on to that realm and that goodness continues on, that positivity continues on, if you're not going to reincarnate into physical form again, then you would just continue to exist in whatever your consciousness holds at that state of mind. So that would be heaven, you know? Or if you were a very negative person, that darkness that's within your source, within your essence, that's going to continue on as well. So perhaps hell is to, you know, be in limbo between the dimensions. And that's why we have things that are referred to as demons and destructive terrors in the night and things like that, because that's their own hell. You know, they're stuck. They have nowhere to go. And so misery loves company. Let's cause chaos. You know what I mean? Like, these are just my theories, of course. but I'm just thinking, you know, like, to me, that's what makes the most sense. Just because scientifically, energy as a source cannot be destroyed. So what the hell happens to that? We know that the physical body dies, but that energy source continues on. So that's, I just feel like that energy source that continues on would end up deciding if it has fulfilled, and this is just my point, or my stance on it too, is that when you die, you'll feel to yourself, did I do everything in my power to reach ultimate enlightenment? Did I do everything that I could to help others and to raise my vibration and raise my consciousness and help the consciousness of the masses? You know, did I do everything that I was supposed to do in this lifetime? Because you'll know what you were supposed to reach when you die. You know, what was I here for? Did I fulfill that? And if not, then you'll maybe have to go back in a physical form and do it again. And hopefully this time you'll get it right. And if that's being a good Christian, or if that's being a super awesome pagan or atheist or whatever, that's up to you when you take that physical form. And maybe you have to learn it all again. But I just feel like, for whatever reason, we're drawn to certain paths and certain religions or certain faiths as we get older, because it's like we remember. And so when we start to remember, that's when we feel that truth. And from my mom, her truth is the Bible, hands down. Like, nothing is going to shake her of that. Nothing will ever change her mind. But she is still open-minded to say, we don't know what's out there, but this is just what I feel to be the truest.
Mm-hmm. And my mom's the same exact way. I mean, that's just how she is as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And that, folks, was the first sermon ever on the Monday Stephanieism church.
Hey, if she created sermons on like Monday nights, I would totally be there to listen.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, and for me, one of the, and this is crazy. So whenever it comes to beliefs, I've struggled the most with trying to find something that was so similar to the beliefs that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come across the TV series Supernatural, and then all the crap that they have on there, I'm just like, dude, I thought that. That's what I was thinking happened.
But I think that's something a lot of people struggle with, is trying to find something that meets all of their criteria. Like, I call myself a walking contradiction all the time. Yeah. Because my beliefs are so, like, some of my beliefs are, I guess you can consider, like, Buddhist and pagan and Christian. And I'm like, I am the biggest walking contradiction ever because my beliefs are so kind of spread out in different areas, but I'm okay with that. But some people feel like they have to fit into like a category.
Right.
Well, and at the end of the day, whatever higher power there may be, whether it's a god, whether it's just the universe or whatever.
Or multiple gods or whatever.
Whatever it is, at the end of the day, I think if you ask yourself, am I a good person? Am I doing the right things? And you're able to say yes, that's what's important.
Uh-huh.
Whether you're a Muslim and you're doing good things, or you're Christian doing good things, or pagan doing good things. I mean,
or just anything.
Yeah, anything. If you're a good person at the end of the day, then, you know, which really what you said, Stephanie, made a lot of sense. You know, your good energy will continue on as good energy.
Right.
And, you know, maybe that is how heaven and hell works. Or maybe one of my theories that I've had is maybe this purgatory that's spoken about, which is weird because I'm, you know, Christian, not Catholic, but this purgatory that we speak about is what we're living in right now. That's one of my theories. Maybe we're already in purgatory and we're just
trying
deciding
to figure it
whether
out.
We're going up or down, you know?
Yeah.
Because it just didn't seem like the next step is to do this all over again and figure out if we're going to heaven or hell.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume that this would be the purgatory at that
right.
point.
And I'm a big believer in like residual energy and like residual hauntings, you know? So if you have, let's say you investigate a house or live in a home where there was a mass murder or there was like an abusive spouse or an abusive parent, and it was like every day for years, I believe that negative energy sticks to the wall like cigarette smoke is what I explain to it. Like when people ask me like, well, what is residual energy? It's like when you smoke in the house and that nicotine sticks to the walls, that's what I believe that energy does. So it could be either extremely negative or it could be extremely positive. If you have somebody who meditates in their space every day and blesses their home all the time and thinks nothing but positive thoughts in their home, that's going to also stick to the walls and that's going to resonate in that home, I think, forever.
That's a sticky situation.
Right.
I mean, that's the best way I could think to explain it is, I mean, like that.
You're slinging your goodness on me, honey.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Robert agrees with you. He said, are we creating a new faith? And then he goes, yes, Bethany, I agree. Residual energy.
Yeah, well, the first church of Stephanieism.
Right. Now, don't go starting some cult, and then that's it. Then my family will really be coming after me, because they'll be like, you said you weren't in a cult, and now you're leading one. Oh, my God. Don't
even
start
that. Also, if we're creating
a
church, it's a cult now.
Yeah, right. That's how that all starts out. We're starting a new faith and a new church, and then all of a sudden there's, you know, 12 people eating goats. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you right now, there's not going to be no goat eating for me.
No, not me either. No, thank you.
We could just raise them on a small little farm and call it a day.
Right.
Oh, look, they're going to sacrifice them. No, they're letting them eat grass.
Yeah.
Okay, they're mowing their grass with the goats.
Oh, they're not that
That's
bad.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, like, when we were doing your photo shoot in the backyard, and you're like, your neighbors are going to think, like, you're a psychopath.
Right. Because it's still, like, really taboo, especially, like, in this area, because people, I feel like they're not as open-minded as they could be. I seriously want to be, like, the first, like, Dover Metaphysical Healing Center.
Amazing.
I'm gonna open it up like right by the police station so I feel safer.
That big pink building.
Yes, see, there you go.
Or what you can do if you wanted to really just make a statement, just buy that empty lot right in front of that Catholic church and just
You'd
have like a picket fence like protest.
And that's a crappy thing though. Like I would love something like that here.
I would love it. I really would.
Which I guess it probably would be a little distasteful if you put it right next to the church.
It's coming. It's because we've got one in Clarksville and we have one in Paris. So, like, it's slowly starting to come this way.
Right, right. Yeah. Just little by little.
Little by little.
But who knows? Maybe maybe we're all wrong and we actually are being watched by extraterrestrials. And we just...
There we go.
The mothership is just calculating it's time to come get us again.
That, yeah, I mean, that's true, or maybe.
That's going to be what's actually going on. Like, we're being, like, we're just, like, this big, sick experiment of, like, mm-hmm. how long is it going to take them to be self-destructive?
We're the
or
mice.
Maybe, just maybe, Men in Black had it right all along. That little universe that's on Orion's belt, that little cat, it's that little, like, gem thing that's got the mm-hmm. whole universe inside of it.
That's us.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe mm-hmm. we're hanging on a cat's collar right now.
This might be true.
Maybe they were right and spot on. Maybe they were a prophet from the cat god or whatever.
There you go.
Robert says, Priestess of the Church of Dragons, grab your foil hats.
Right.
Yeah, so but yeah, so our little show here just like went from like I don't know, like a small little thing that was going to be an hour and to almost 2.5 now. Two hours and 40 minutes. Good
Man,
stuff.
That's past
stuff.
My bedtime.
I know, right? So you guys, I mean, you guys can stick around if you want. I'm just going to go over the cards really quick that people chose from earlier today, and then we'll be signing off. But it's, you know, it's up to you guys if you wanted to stick around. But I definitely... appreciate you guys. I definitely appreciate you guys coming on and having such an awesome conversation and topic tonight. I mean, seriously, I could go on and on about this topic for a good 5-10 infinite hours. It's ridiculous how long I can go on this topic.
We just hope we didn't keep you too long.
No, gosh, no. This is what I
maybe.
Do.
Maybe we should do what all the like Twitch streamer gamers do and do like a all night stream.
We're gonna have to do that one night. Have right. like playing games in the background and like talking about beliefs.
Oh my gosh, yes. See, this is what we need to do. I play Elder Scrolls and I also have, what else do I have? I have Elder Scrolls, RuneScape,
Good old RuneScape, old faithful.
I know, I'm so excited because I just downloaded that actually. It's so old school, but I love it. I have World of Warcraft still. What did I say? Sea of Thieves. What is it called? Brutal Fantasy. It's one of Jack Black's games.
Oh, didn't know he made any games.
I didn't either.
Yeah, he has a game. It's called... Oh my god. Brutal Legend, I think it's called. Brutal Legend. I have that too. It's actually pretty interesting. So, you know, anytime that you want to hop on and play, we could definitely do some streaming conversations, playing a game as we go. That'd be fun.
That would be really fun. Right.
It would be.
Right. So far, Sea of Thieves is probably the most interesting mm-hmm. to me right now.
What do you have? Do you have any of those games?
You.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm really loving Elder Scrolls Online right now. It's really, I really like it.
Yeah, I don't think that's Bethany's type, though. It's more of an RPG kind of game.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's not too big into that kind of stuff.
I still play The Sims. I mean, you know.
I do love The Sims, though.
I wish that was online.
They need to bring back Sims Online. That's what they need to do. Maybe if we get a big enough fan base, we can say, hey, listen right. here.
Right, see?
All of our viewers are going to boycott you unless you make an online version.
Oh my gosh.
So screw your Sims 5.
We could just make like a big pagan family on The Sims and just like have a ball.
Oh gosh, we could. It could be like a nature community. Like one of those little, what do they call them? Like a compound or like a... Mm-hmm. A little
With
commune.
That random Christian guy in there.
Yeah, the random Christian guy named Ethan. But
yeah.
I really do appreciate you guys coming on, and I'm looking forward to your podcast. If you really do want me on Saturday for your podcast, I'm down
no,
for
we
it.
We were just joking with you. We just want to make you feel better.
No,
oh, wow, thanks.
No, we definitely want you on our podcast for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so if you do that Saturday, just let me know, and I will make it a plan.
Alrighty, that works.
That's awesome. So, yeah, I will be looking forward to that. Guys, I put the link in there. I think Ethan might have also put the link to that one show with the Newmans. So if you enjoyed our conversation, you enjoyed talking and hanging out with them tonight, go check out their page, give them a like, and follow them so that you can tune into their podcasts. Do you guys have like a schedule for your podcast at all yet, or is it just the Saturday night ones?
Typically,
Saturday nights are our lives.
Yeah, Saturday nights are our lives, which again, we've missed, I think, the last three Saturdays due to life.
Yeah.
And
we have our pre-recorded on Tuesdays.
It's like Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday is usually whenever we end up getting the pre-recorded one, usually more towards Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it varies. We'll announce it before we post it. That way everyone that follows us on Facebook can know when we're going to have the new episodes up. But we've actually been, and not to go off topic, but we've been, okay, never mind. Yeah.
What?
Sorry, Bethany was rushing me.
I'm not rushing you.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. If you guys can even just put like a little thing about what, if you guys have like a schedule and what you guys like talk about on those days or whatever, you want to throw that into the chat on Facebook, that would be cool. This way at least, or even on the YouTube link, so that I could share that in the description in case anybody comes across that and they want to hop onto your podcast, then that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
You could just,
we're very heavy on the crowd engagement, audience engagement. So we always like to talk with the viewers. So that's one of our big things that we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Just shoot me like a little description or something I could put on the YouTube page, and then you could copy and paste that or whatever into the Facebook chat viewers or whatever. So, all right. Well, I will be saying goodnight to you guys. Anybody else that wants to stick around for just a few minutes while I pull those, flip the cards for you guys that I put in the page earlier, totally do that. Thank you again, Ethan and Bethany. And I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your night, and I'm looking forward to Saturday.
You too. Thanks for having us.
Thanks. Bye, guys.